You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Welcome back to the Bet Slippin' Podcast, presented by SportsbookWire.USAToday.com and sponsored by our good friends Tipico Sportsbook. Me and Eston are back in the set after a up and down week three for me. How did it go for you last week, Eston?
It was a good week three for me, actually. 3-1 in my podcast picks. I had the under in Panthers Texans. I had the Titans to win by six or more. I had the Saints as an outright upset on the road. I know you were on that one as well. But then I lost with Philadelphia plus 3.5 because the Cowboys just absolutely steamrolled them on Monday Night Football. But yeah, a good week all in all. And yeah, credit to both of us for the Saints pick. I know we were very high on that last week, and it was good to see it play out as we expected. Saints are looking good. Jameis Winston's looking good in particular. And Patriots are just looking bad. We'll dive much deeper into that shortly. But yeah, it was a good week three. A good bounce back from a horrible week two.
Yeah, my week two was a struggle. Week three didn't go so much better as far as the sides and the contest. In the contest, I was 2-3, which pushes my season record to 7-8. I obviously hope to get off to a much better start, and I thought I was after a 4-1 week one, but I've struggled in sides. I have went absolutely nuts on totals. I think I've lost one total, one of which was last week. I lost by 1.5. I was on the wrong side. It was the over 52 in the Cardinals-Jaguars game, but with that, I was 2-2-1. Last week. I'm marking my 6-point teaser on the Ravens as a tie. I think I got it at -8, bringing it down to -2. They won on that field goal, which is just was ridiculous. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but I'm just going to mark it as a tie. You know, I think that's the fair way to put it, because I'm not going to like it depends on like your sports book, and make sure that you read all of your sports book wherever you're betting their teaser rules, because it differentiates. But on my book, that would go down as like a small winner because it would drop to like a one team teaser. I'm not gonna count it, right? There's no way to factor it into the record. So I was 2-2-1 week three. I'm 7-6-1 on the season. Lost to the Washington football team epically. Won with the Saints and what we would call in the business, Eston, a rocking chair cover. There was never a sweat, right? The Saints was never a sweat.
No. It's always good when you get those, maybe one per week. But when everything just goes according to plan, and you know, a lot of people were on the Saints last week, you and I for sure. It's weird that they closed as underdogs, quite frankly. And I think that's going to work against Patriots opponents kind of the rest of the season, where they're going to lose that innate or inherent edge, definitely on home field anyway. So I can capitalize by picking a road underdog against them for now, and you know, hopefully we get one or two more opportunities as we go forward.
Yep. So I lost on the over the Cardinals Jaguars and hit the under Seahawks Vikings under 55.5, which was pretty lucky. So we have a whole week four slate to get to, and that's where I turn over Eston for his hosting duties. But don't we have bills to pay real quick, Eston?
Yes, let's do that right now. Bet Slippin' Podcast is brought to us by Tipico Sportsbook. A global sports betting leader is now live in New Jersey and Colorado. Make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. For a limited time, new users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply. 21 and up. See site for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. And now, ready to dive into the week four slate.
Yeah, let's get it started with this exciting Thursday night football game. I think it's exciting.
I mean, compared to the last two, this one's no worse. At least it's fine. This is a promising Thursday night football matchup. Two young quarterbacks, the two most recent number one overall picks. Jacksonville Jaguars at 0-3 visit the 2-1 Cincinnati Bengals. 8:20 p.m. Eastern time kickoff. Jags off of a 31-19 home loss there on the Cardinals. Much uglier than it looked. The Jags had a first half lead. The Bengals, they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 24-10 on the road. Just a thorough and triumphant victory. Jags are 0-3 against the spread, 1-2 over under. Bengals are 2-1 against the spread, 1-2 over under. Jags plus 50,000 win the Super Bowl, just continuing to slide down that board. And the Bengals, you know, moving up slowly, maybe plus 10,000 number. Hey, I'm not going to say they're going to win Super Bowl 56, but no, they're looking better than a plus 10,000. The team's just looking good. Again, 2-1. Home favorites here, 7.5 points, minus 380 on the money line. The Jags are plus 290 on the money line, plus 7.5, juiced a little bit towards Jacksonville as the road dog. And the over-under, 45.5, minus 108 on the over, minus 112 on the under. We haven't seen a full, complete game from Trevor Lawrence and or the rest of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bengals, you know, three pretty good efforts across the board. Narrow loss to the Chicago Bears mixed in here as well. You know, 7.5 is a big number for them. I don't know if the Jaguars can play a full four quarters and keep it closer than that. How are you assessing this team? You know, through 3 weeks, you've been higher on them each week than I have. You're an Urban Meyer supporter. Yeah, I got to go with Joe Burrow and just a better Bengals supporting cast.
I mean, if anything, I just can't in good faith bet on Cincinnati here. You know, this is the absolute, like, sell high spot for Cincinnati and buy low spot for Jacksonville. I think the preseason line was Cincinnati Bengals minus 2.5. And while I don't think we're getting 5 points of value, that's not what I'm saying. I think the Bengals are clearly, I mean, they are clearly better than the Jaguars. And I just thought of this. The way I'd almost prefer to play it would be like take Jacksonville plus 7.5. And I'm thinking about sprinkling on the Bengals to win the AFC North. I do think that Pittsburgh is going to be in for a down year. It's pretty obvious that offense is bad. Cleveland obviously looks awesome. I don't have a lot bad or negative to say about them. The Baltimore Ravens, frankly, are lucky to be 2-1. We'll talk about them later. And I pegged them for regression anyways. And the Bengals, like, their coach is a huge question mark, but, like, Joe Burrow has sick weapons. The offensive line is improving. It's definitely the weakness on that team. And the defense is underrated. And I said it was underrated in the preseason, but everyone's betting the Bengals here. Everyone's going to include the Bengals money line in a parlay. Everyone's going to put is going to tease them down to minus 1.5 or minus 2. And the sports books know this. Like, they knew it when they posted the line, right? I mean, how, like, I would say 75%, or I would say most of the gamblers, right? Most of consistent and recreational NFL gamblers are going to tease the Bengals down. And they're just going to look at this as, like, the Bengals win by 2 points or more 75 or 80% of the time. And I can't fault them. They're probably right, you know, but this could be that 125% opportunity. And as crazy as it sounds, I bet Jacksonville the first week, as crazy as it sounds, I think their mistakes are fixable. They are. Like, their offensive line is nasty in run blocking, third in adjusted line yards. And it feels like Urban Meyer, maybe he read somewhere or just watched his own team practice, but James Robinson's pretty good. I don't know. Seems like he's starting to figure that out. I mean, and back against the wall, like, your rookie just threw an embarrassing pick six last week. run the ball. Run the ball, dude. And I hope he does. Jaguars are first in rushing success rate, third in rushing offensive EPA, fifth in rushing offense DVOA. Run the ball, dude. Like, I could see the Jaguars going 2-15 this year. Are they going to go 2-15 against the spread? Like, you can't lose a couple games by a field goal, dude. I mean, I'm not going to go to the window with this, but because I bet NFL at a crazy rate, like a rate that I don't even come near publicizing, I will be betting the Jaguars +7.5 for sure. So that's where I'm at.
I like that. How about the total? 45.5 right now. That seems low. I can see this rising considerably as we get closer to Thursday kickoff, as we teed up off the start, two young first overall quarterbacks, the average NFL fan tuning in for Thursday night football has to like the over here. This is a pretty low number.
Yeah. If anything, I lean to the over. You know, it's since his defense has looked great, but they played against three weak offensive lines and two just terrible quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins, awesome, but their defense is able to get to him a little bit in week one. Week three, they play the Steelers, who has terrible offensive line, terrible quarterback, right? And week two, they played Justin Fields and the Bears. And just frankly, the Bears' offense is a dumpster fire right now. So, like, since his defense could be good, or they could have had really good spots and situations. I mean, they were outgained and out first down in every game this season. So that's like draws questions for me on both sides of the ball. And they have an awful coach, or what the market would assume is an awful coach. I know I'm kind of dipping back into the sides handicap here, but if anything, I feel like Urban Meyer figures out some ways to get more points on the board against the Bengals, right? And Joe Burrow is going to be able to keep up with these weapons. So I'm with you. I lean to the over, but I would look at the market in this one. That's kind of where I would defer and kind of go one way or the other. And the market, it's 55% is cash. So the 55% of the cash, excuse me, is on the over. So it's not like, you know, it's not skewed one side or the other. I'd probably go with the cash and follow the cash there. I'm with you, but I don't like it enough. And I didn't even think about it until you brought it up.
Yeah, I'm thinking of getting in on this early because just given the situation and this current number, I anticipate it rising by, you know, at least 3 points by 8 o'clock Thursday. So get in on that early. That's my favorite pick in this game.
How do you feel? Have you thought about teasing totals, bringing this down to 39.5, get it 20-20, ends in a field goal, and you easily not easily, but cash that one in a sweat?
I like that. I'm so bad at totals in generally that I don't try to get overly fancy with them. It just seems like a bigger risk that I don't want to take. But yeah,
it's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is if you feel less confident about totals, shaving 6 points one way or the other like makes you feel more confident. At least hopefully it builds your bankroll as well.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, these two teams getting to 40 points seems like a lock for sure. So yeah, I'd like that. Moving into the 1 o'clock slate, the Cleveland Browns 2-1 visit the 1-2 Minnesota Vikings, 1 p.m. Eastern start. Both teams off of wins last week. The Browns beat up on the Chicago Bears 26-6. Miles Garrett named Defensive Player of the Week just for an incredible performance, 4.5 sacks. The Vikings 30-17 win over the Seattle Seahawks. It was tight for a while. They really pulled away late. Browns are 2-1 against the spread and against the over-under, as are the Seahawks. Browns are +1,500 for the Super Bowl. Seahawks slipping the other way at +4,000 now. The Vikings are +4,000 for the Super Bowl at 1-2. Now, we talked a little bit before show, but I think these two teams are pretty comparable. You brought up, obviously, Kevin Stefanski used to work under Mike Zimmer. I know both teams have a good enough quarterback. And no, normally that's not a great thing, not a very nice thing to say about a quarterback who's at least paid as a franchise quarterback. But that's what they are. Two of the only teams left in the league liking to focus on the run game. You know, Dalvin Cook, hopefully we see him this week after a rest week last week. And big time receivers on both ends, a top two in this game, both play for Minnesota. And Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, but Odell Beckham Jr. looked pretty darn good in his first week back for the Cleveland Browns. And they just have a lot of other options there to step up with Jarvis Landry sidelined. And we haven't seen the best from either Rashard Higgins or Donovan Peoples-Jones yet this season. And Baker Mayfield makes real good use of his three-headed tight end monster in Austin Hooper, David Njoku, and Harrison Bryant. The Browns are minus 135 road favorites here, -2.5 points, minus 112 odds. Vikings are +2.5, minus 108, and plus 110 on the money line if you think they can pull a second straight home upset. How do you feel about that, Jeffrey Clark?
I lean slash like-ish the Vikings here. Kirk Cousins, he grades out as one of the best five quarterbacks in the NFL through 3 weeks. Baker Mayfield, those look pretty good. Minnesota's defense has been bad, 20th in EPA and success rate, 25th in DVOA, but they've played the fourth toughest schedule of opposing offenses. I think this defense is going to get better under Zimmer as the year progresses, and they'll play a little bit easier offenses. Cleveland's offense could be good. I don't know. No Jarvis Landry obviously hurts its ceiling a little bit or lowers its ceiling a little bit, but I do like Mayfield, and their blocking is awesome. But I do like Minnesota's defensive line and how they're starting to gel. It's a pros versus Joes game. There's more money on Minnesota, but more bets on Cleveland. And I don't have any trends, but it feels like in like the master versus former pupil situations, like the master usually pulls that one out. I know we usually see with Bill Belichick, obviously different situation here or just all together. But I think Mike Zimmer at home, Minnesota is usually a good home team, or Mike Zimmer with Minnesota are good at home. We got the pros versus Joe's situation. Minnesota's probably getting Dalvin Cook and Anthony Barr back, and they won by two scores without those guys last week. Also, the Vikings kind of back against the wall here, so I'm going to take the Vikings. And right now it's a lean slash like. I might end up taking it to the window with me. It's one of like the bets that I have on the fringes. How do you feel about this one?
I'm locking in Browns 2.5. Greg Newsom's going to miss this game. That's going to hurt them a bit, but I'm still going to give a defensive edge to Cleveland kind of across the board. Obviously, Myles Garrett, huge game last week, but Jadeveon Clowney's getting the job done as well. That rookie linebacker doing very good things as well. And, I generally apologize for Kirk Cousins. And, I think he's a whole lot better than the public image of him would suggest. But this just feels like that, almost trademarked letdown spot for him. Touched on it last week, the two narrow losses get back. They got the big home win, as we were both on last week. And I just see this being a letdown spot for them against a cross-conference opponent. And, I'm just really liking what I'm seeing from Cleveland so far. If I have to pick one team that's going to be maybe more likely to shoot itself in the foot, that's going to have to be Minnesota. And, as this line suggests, it's going to be a close game coming right down to it. I don't have a feel on the over-under here. 51.5, minus 105 on the over, minus 115 on the under. I guess perhaps I would maybe lean to the over for the better payout. But that would go against the theory of Cousins of the Vikings kind of falling on their face after a big win last week. So I'm going to avoid the total and just stick with Cleveland -2.5.
All righty.
Next 1 o'clock game, Indianapolis Colts. Oh boy. At the Miami Dolphins, 0-3 Colts, 1-2 Dolphins. Colts 25-16 home loss to the Tennessee Titans last week. The Dolphins 31-28 overtime road loss at the Las Vegas Raiders. Colts are 1-2 against the spread and 1-2 on the over-under. Dolphins are 2-1 ATS, 1-2 OU. Colts plus, or both teams plus 7,000 for the Super Bowl. Dolphins probably looking like the more likely team to do that, even though don't really like either of those options at this point. Quentin Nelson, likely not going to play. Carson Wentz, probably going to play for better or most likely worse. I have seen nothing to like about the Colts this year. They're 0-3. They deserve to be 0-3. they deserve to fall to 0-4 here. The Dolphins are 2.5-point home favorites, minus 115. Colts are plus 2.5, minus 107, plus 110 odds if you like the Colts outright upset. Low total of 42.5, minus 112 on the over for the low number. I'm on Dolphins -2.5. And if Quentin Nelson is officially ruled out and we have a injury hampered Carson Wentz at quarterback, I'm also on the under 42.5 minus 108. I can see a very strong defensive performance from the Dolphins this week.
Yeah, I hear you. To me, it's a slam dunk teaser play, getting this above 8.5 and just taking the Colts. I lean to the Colts for sure outright. Might end up playing them in the contest. I mean, you're right. Indianapolis at 0-3, it's disappointing, but, you know, what did you expect the record to be? They played Seattle. They played L.A. Who did they just lose to? Tennessee on the road, banged up Carson Wentz. I mean, it is kind of disheartening that they lost by 9 points, and I think we're +3 in the turnover differential, but, you know, Carson Wentz is bad. Unfortunately, or I guess fortunately for the Colts, he somehow hasn't performed worse than Jacoby Brissett. I don't really get that. It sounds ridiculous saying it out loud, right? And then when I listen back to it and edit it, it's going to sound ridiculous as well. I might edit it out, but I mean, like, I don't know. He grades higher than Jacoby Brissett. Will Fuller is banged up already. And, like, the only one of the few coaches that are as highly regarded as Brian Flores in this generation is Frank Reich. Frank Reich is familiar with Jacoby Brissett, who took over for Andrew Luck when Andrew Luck retired in 2019. You figure Reich is going to try and minimize Wentz's mistakes versus a Miami defense that can take the ball away. So I think Indianapolis, even without Quentin Nelson, will run the ball, and for better or worse, will, like, eat the clock doing that. And I just don't know, like, how Miami moves the ball, right? Like, they got a huge PI call last week that helped them move the ball, and, like, they always just find goofy little ways to chunk out some yards. And I think against a good coach like Frank Reich, he'll be able to, like, again, minimize stuff like that. Miami, just like I said, has a soft rush defense, 21st in rush defense success rate, 20th in defensive EPA in the rushing. And, you know, Indy's got a pretty good defensive line with DeForest Buckner, and or maybe it's Bruckner. But Miami's got a bad offensive line. So I lean to the Colts here, just because, like, this is also a sell high spot for Miami. Like, they had no business covering last week. And them covering, I think, kind of gives them momentum in the betting market. And the Colts looked like dog shit last week. They looked bad each of the weeks. So I think there's value inherently in the Colts. It's not a fun play, but really, if you want to be profitable in the NFL, you probably just plug your nose and throw some shit out there. I don't know.
Okay. We'll leave you there. I like the Dolphins -2.5. They're so opportunistic. They get a lot of, for two years now, they've gotten a lot of, you know, defensive scores, special team scores. And, you know, the way Carson Wentz and the Colts offense is playing, they're ripe to give up those kind of scores. It's definitely
in the range, dude, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Dolphins -2.5 for me. The next one, and oh boy, we got a big number here. The Houston Texans at Buffalo Bills. Texans +16.5, road dogs -110 odds. The Buffalo Bills favored by 16.5 points, -110 odds, -1400 money line for the Buffalo Bills at Tipico Sportsbook, +750 for the Houston Texans. And Davis Mills, the 1-2 Houston Texans, 2-1 Buffalo Bills. Bills are back, I think. 43-21 home win over the Washington football team last week. That was the big Josh Allen win everyone was anticipating coming into the season, and finally showed out. Houston, though, 2-1 against the spread and 2-1 over under. The Bills, 2-1 ATS, 1-2 OU. Buffalo +900 for the Super Bowl. The Texans, surprisingly, still listed at +50,000. given the Texans any hope here? Do the Bills just run up the score as they did last week in a 22-point victory?
Honestly, I thought their victory against Washington probably the most impressive in week three. As that game got closer to kickoff, every single like sports betting writer made it a point to talk about how it's a Joes versus Sharps versus public play, with every one of the Sharps on Washington and all the Joes on Buffalo. And I thought that Green Bay and the Chargers were the fake Sharp play of the week, and turns out it was Washington, and I was flat wrong on that one. What a hell of a performance in Buffalo. But I mean, I'm kind of delaying. I'm passing on this game. It's an absolute stay away for me. I agree Buffalo should be a huge favorite, and I can't build a very legitimate case for Houston covering against Buffalo. Here's what I'll say. This is the only argument that works. Buffalo is one, could be looking ahead to the visiting the Chiefs next week in Arrowhead, right? And two, maybe the Bills don't want to put anything on film for Kansas City to study and prep for their meeting. So maybe we get a stale Buffalo offense. They win 27-13, and the Texans cash that way, right? I mean, that's probably the most foreseeable route to Texans winning against the spread. But I don't think Buffalo's defense is going to come out stale. You know, I think they're going to play. I think they're gonna play tough, and I think they're gonna play well. And I think based on how they looked last year, there's almost like a chip on this defense's shoulder this year. And like, I am all about fading rookie quarterbacks, and Davis Mills is the least heralded rookie quarterback out there. So, you know, there's no way I would play the Texans here.
Yeah, that's the only take. Good for you. The Bills just get up to a lead, and then Josh Allen just doesn't throw a pass in the second half, right? We see Devin Singletary and Zach Moss run it into the ground, for better or for worse. Maybe we get a look at Mitchell Trubisky in Buffalo Bills gear. Yeah. If the Texans manage to cover this number, it's going to be in such an ugly way that I don't want to be needing to brag about it as a correct pick, right? So, yeah, nothing more to say here. But obviously, the Bills deserve to be favored by 16.5. There's no denying that. The Detroit Lions at the Chicago Bears in a big NFC North rivalry game between the 0-3 Lions and the 1-2 Bears. Lions close again, 19-17 home loss to the Baltimore Ravens. The Bears, meanwhile, trounced 26-6 at the Cleveland Browns in the starting debut of rookie quarterback Justin Fields. Lions 2-1 against the spread and over under. The Bears, they're 1-2 ATS and OU. Lions are plus 40,000 for the Super Bowl. Bears plus 10,000 for the Super Bowl. No need to look at those odds at all. The Lions are plus 122 money line underdogs. Bears minus 150. Bears 2.5-point favorites at minus 130. Plus 105 for the Lions to cover on the other side. Low, low, low total of 41.5 points, minus 115 on the under, minus 105 on the over. You know, Jared Goff isn't looking bad for the Detroit Lions. He's not the reason they're 0-3. You know, tough matchup last week. Obviously got lost to the Packers. No, they're not that bad. I mean, I was all over Dan Campbell coming into the season. I thought his shtick was too eerily similar to Matt Patricia's. I had very little hope, but hey, the Lions, for how little talent everyone says is on this roster, they're playing it close. A 19-17 loss to a Baltimore Ravens team that just beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That's pretty impressive for this team that is still very much alive to go 0-17. The Bears, you know, they're entertaining three different starting quarterback options this week. That's never a good sign, because as you say, when you have three options, you don't have one. And whether it's all on Justin Fields or all on Matt Nagy or a combination of the two, what that game plan was last week in Cleveland was an unmitigated disaster. I don't know if everything that went into that performance can be corrected in 1 week. Against an albeit much worse Detroit Lions team. I have very little hope for any immediate correction in Chicago right now.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's a sell high spot for Detroit, though, and a buy low spot for Chicago. Bears are coming off really one of the worst offensive performances ever. Like, that's not hyperbole. It's pretty bad. I mean, Justin Fields had one net passing yard. Myles Garrett had 4.5 sacks. It's a bad day. It's a really bad day, you know?
And all of them for a lot of yards.
Yeah. He's trying to run away from Myles Garrett. I wonder what the conversation was between the offensive line coach and I guess Jason Peters, who I thought would be able to hold up a little bit better against Myles Garrett or hold up decently against Myles Garrett. Obviously, I was way wrong, but like, what does Matt Nagy say to him? What does the offensive line coach say to him? Because ultimately, Jason Peters is like, well, do you show me how it's done? What do you want to do with Myles Garrett? How would you defend? How would you block him? You know, there's really no one on the planet is really getting the better of Myles Garrett. You know, and obviously he just crushed Jason Peters. But I'm gonna look at the camera when I tell you this. 90% of the money is on the Detroit Lions and Jared Goff on the road. Does that sound like a bet? Does that sound like a bet you want to follow?
Like, that's as ugly as a trifecta as you can get.
I mean, really 90% of the money is going to cash on this one? Really? I don't know. If you just fade a Detroit team that got 90% of the action for our entire lifetimes, what would your ROI be? It'd be insane.
We wouldn't be doing this anymore.
For sure. I mean, Jared Goff has played Chicago's defense last 3 years. He's got a 57% completion rate, 2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 59.7 quarterback rating. And Detroit's offensive situation is far worse than Goff's previous situation in L.A. Far worse. He played very well against Chicago last year. Again, though, it was the Rams, right? Different situation. A look ahead line was Bears -5.5, and I know it looked ugly, but I think especially if Dalton's out there, I'm gonna give it a whirl. It's just there's just too much Lions love, and that should not happen. That's not something I should say out loud. You know, I mean, like this team, they're still winless, right? Like, also the other thing is like, how big of a letdown is that? Like how 66-yard game winning or for them game losing field goal bounce off the crossbar and in. Like you saw the fans, like they were gutted. You saw it live. Like that has to have a lingering effect. It just has to be. I like the under a little bit more, right? The under is 42 now though, and it started at 45. So we're getting such a terrible number. I almost want to tease it. You know, but the Lions are 23rd in neutral situation pace. The Bears are 29th. I can't imagine them going fast this week, right? I can't imagine that. There's massive flux of the quarterback positions. All their options are terrible, you know. And I think the Bears' defense, it might be legit. It's 9th in DVOA, 13th in EPA, 11th in success rate. And they've played the second toughest schedule of opposing offenses. Like, they played the Rams in week one. Not fun at all, right? So I'm just going to take the Bears, and I'm going to put it on my, you know, I'm going to bring it to the window with me. It's terrible. It's terrible what I'm going to do.
If it wasn't for Myles Garrett and the entire Browns defense just walking through the Bears offensive line every play last week, you know, the Bears defensive line would have got a whole lot more credit because they were getting to Baker Mayfield quite often as well.
Balling.
And yeah, that was against an injury-hampered Cleveland offensive line, but you know, still a better offensive line than Detroit's at full health.
Yeah, through 29 minutes and 40 seconds, it was tied. You know, so I mean, if your offense is going to put up one net passing yard, you should lose that game. Actually, you should. So
yeah, and then yeah, for you know the good things I said about Dan Campbell, you know, after that Justin Tucker game-winning field goal. Just looking at the special teams guys on the field, like they were just dejected. I mean, how aren't you going to be when you lose on a record-breaking field goal?
Record-breaking by like, I think 3 yards. Like, geez, yeah. That hurts. Like, geez.
Anyway, on to the Kansas City Chiefs trying to end a two-game losing skid weird to say that still. Coming off a 30-24 home loss to the Los Angeles Chargers against the Philadelphia Eagles team that started the season with a big road win over the Atlanta Falcons and has since regressed to the team we thought they were. 41-20 road loss at the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football, so everyone got to see how bad it was. Both teams at 1-2. Chiefs, surprisingly, 0-3 against the spread, 2-0 over-under. Eagles, 1-2, ATS, and OU. The Chiefs, however, are favorite, and this number's just continuously went up since Monday Night Football started. -6.5-point favorites. The Chiefs are at -115. Eagles, +6.5, -107, +225 on the under, on the money line if you're feeling the Philly underdogs. 54.5 is the projected point total, -110 on both sides. Andy Reid rushed to hospital after that loss last week and returned to practice this week. Supposed to be good to go. Tyrann Mathieu, the most notable player to tweet kind of after that loss and situation, his thoughts and prayers for his head coach. You probably don't need any narrative street here for the Chiefs, looking to come off a extremely rare two-game losing skid for them. But, if they need extra motivation, there's that. They're +650 for the Super Bowl still, so the sports books still standing by them. I got to stand by the Chiefs too. -6.5 on the road against an Eagles team coming off that ugly, ugly 41-21 loss in a division rivalry game. Very little hope here. Nick Sirianni, for all the credit he got in week one, that's gone to the wayside pretty quickly. If not calling for his job, certainly putting him on the list of midseason hot seat candidates. Gotta like the Chiefs here. I know I had to like them last week as well, but for as hard to see them losing two games in a row was, it's much harder to see them losing three in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't argue with teasing it down to 1.5. I mean, I'm really mad at the Chiefs. I'm kind of going to take them to task here in my allotted time. You remember when Bill Belichick, during the victory parade of the Patriots, was chanting "No days off, no days off"? It feels like it went the opposite direction for the Chiefs after they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and it also feels like this organization farts in their hand and then smells it. This is the biggest game of Philly season, right? And can we confidently say the Chiefs are going to take this game seriously? I don't think so. Why not take last week seriously? There's a humility and groundedness that Kansas City is missing. I thought maybe getting crushed in the Super Bowl by the Chiefs by the Bucks would bring them back down to earth a tad. But I'm gonna be consistent here. I do this with all team sports, and I come down on the best players first and foremost. Mahomes throwing no-look passes to backup tight ends in the middle of the field needs to stop. You have God's right arm. Step, look, and fire it into his chest. And this isn't Travis. He wasn't Travis Kelce, right? He's not locked into you. These guys probably share a brain. That's how well they know each other. Was it Blake Bell who popped it up? Whoever was a backup tight end, just put it on him. Keep the chains moving. There's a clumsiness with this team, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and they just seem not to really care. It's always we'll figure it out. We have one of the best coaches. We have one of the best quarterbacks. We're the Chiefs. We're the Chiefs. Division's over. It's you need to come out and play. They're playing and won basketball out there, and it's frustrating. As someone who had the Chiefs last week in a teaser and outright on the contest or -6.5 in the contest, it's not woe is me, but it's just lame. You went out and you turned the ball over on your opponent's side of the field in the first three drives. Do you care? Come on. Button this shit up. And I'm not putting more money on them. What are they, 1-12? 1-12-1 against the spread in their last 14? At this point, me betting on them -7.5, I feel like a sucker. And I'm just kind of over it. I agreed with that 5.5. Now it's all right, 7.5, with your weak-ass defense, Jalen Hurts can't get in the back door. It's impossible. I don't know. I'm just going to pass. And it's just lame. Like, it feels like KC kicks it into gear, right? That's what the market says. Because, like, the AFC West, I don't know if they're paying attention. It ain't automatic this year. Like, you guys got to win games, you know? Like, the Broncos look good, and they have a very, very, very easy schedule. So, I don't know. And you're already 0-1 in division. So, you split with the Raiders last year. I relinquish my time. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's 2-3-0 teams in that division. 2-3-0 teams, Raiders, Broncos, and yeah, as you say, they're losing the tiebreaker to the Chargers right now. So then I'm just going to fall back to, like, this is the spot where they're angry enough. This is where they put the foot down. You got the motivation, get one for Andy. And there's just nothing to like about this Eagles side, but hey, maybe the defense isn't good enough and Jalen Hurts can run around as he did in week one. And you scared me off of betting and losing on the Chiefs again, but you know, if I have to advise anyone else, that would be the side. There's just very little to like about Philadelphia here, because that defense apparently isn't as good as we thought it was through the first 2 weeks as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough to build a pro Philadelphia case, but like, again, 1-12-1 against the spread. I don't know. How much money can I lose? Like, how much money can I lose? I don't know. I'm kind of done with it.
Okay, next 1 o'clock game. The New York Giants at 0-3 pay a visit.
Speaking of done with, Jesus Christ. Oh, no. All right. Yeah, let's go with this one.
A fun section of the podcast for you. 0-3 New York Giants at the 2-1 New Orleans Saints. The actual home opener for New Orleans as they return to their home building after a neutral site game in week one, and then a 1-1 road record thus far. Big win over the Patriots last week, and that was 28-13. And the Giants took a 17-14 home loss at the hands of the Atlanta Falcons. Giants 1-2 ATS and over under. The Saints are 2-1 ATS and 0-3 OU. New Orleans is plus 3,000 for the Super Bowl. Giants plus 20,000. And the odds on this one, Giants plus 290. Road dogs, the Saints are a minus 380. Minus 7.5 points at minus 107. Plus 7.5 for the Giants, minus 115. And another very low total of 41.5 points. Minus 108 on the over. Minus 112 on the under. The Giants are 0-3. Daniel Jones has looked good, if not very good. Jameis Winston in two wins has looked very good. Don't know what that was in Carolina necessarily, but Giants, they deserve to lose 0-3. They're 0-3. They've, you know, Denver Broncos in week one, but then the Washington football team, the Atlanta Falcons, you know, how do you lose to the Atlanta Falcons at home, even though it was just 17-14? Just an ugly game. You know, if no listeners watch this one, wouldn't blame you. Jeff and I kind of suckered into watching it, and it wasn't good. I'll tell you that much. Saints kind of whatever number here, or do the Giants, if they can keep getting this play from Daniel Jones, they're good enough that they have to get something right in the other areas of the game, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, trying to be objective about it, you know, I'm very unhappy with the Giants and all that, and I'll explain that in a second, but, like, it feels like too many points of the Saints, and, you know, we have just betting on Jameis Winston, rooting for Jameis Winston is a roller coaster ride. Daniel Jones has looked good for the last two games, and we talked about this in Slack, kind of pivoting to the Giants here. I think the terribleness of the season is just going to be heartbreaking loss after heartbreaking loss. I think we're going to be the greatest 3-14 team ever, you know, end up covering 11 of the 17 games, something like that. I mean, you know, if Daniel Jones is going to turn the ball over, we can be in every game. But if the offense is going to run the stale scheme and really just not get the ball out into space to Galladay or to Saquon Barkley, I mean, we're just going to suck. And the Saints defense is awesome. But, you know, there is a lot of volatility to the New Orleans offensive situation. and eights a lot, especially with a low total, which is what I find interesting. The under is just completely dead at this point. It opened at 47 and it's now to 41.5. And I'm actually at this point, I'm wondering, do I tease it down to 35.5 and go over, right? And get, what would that be? Like 11.5 points worth of line value from the opener? I mean, right? Like this game can't end 20-17, you know? Like that's where I'm looking at now. But if I were to play it either way, it'd just be the Giants plus 8.5 because, you know, they'll probably lose by under a touchdown in a very terrible way. I could see them winning the entire game and then losing at the end. So,
right. The other side of all of this is that the rest of the team steps up. We got a good defensive performance. And then this is the game that Daniel Jones throws away late, right? Yeah. Anytime you get a team and especially a quarterback in this situation, it just seems hard luck.
Can you objectively say cursed with a team? Can we say that in sports betting? I don't know. I feel like cursed is what the Giants are. Cursed.
Yeah, it's one of those where I don't want to keep betting on the Giants hoping I'm right. I would rather just stay away and, you know, miss it when it comes.
Yeah, whatever. Saints are probably going to beat our ass, but 8.5, I don't know, whatever.
The Tennessee Titans are road favorites at the New York Jets. Nodoy, -320 on the money line, -6.5 points, -122 odds there. The Jets, +6.5, -102, +250 on the money line, 43.5 points. Very low totals in this 1 o'clock slate because the matchups aren't great. Definitely the lesser of the two slates this week. 43.5 points, -117 on the over, -103 on the under. Titans, coming off that aforementioned convincing 25-16 home win over the Indianapolis Colts, and the Jets were just pounded 26-0 on the road at the Denver Broncos. Zach Wilson isn't looking good. Neither is anybody else. The Titans 2-1 against the spread, 1-2 over under. Defense in Tennessee has been okay. And the offense, Derrick Henry shouldering the load. Better days for the passing game to come, but Julio Jones and A.J. Brown both expected to be on the injury report throughout the week. That's okay. This seems very much like a spot where Derrick Henry can just run for 200 yards. Titans are +2,000 for the Super Bowl. The Jets don't matter. Tennessee -6.5. Are you going to argue that, or can we just move on and finish up with this ugly 1 o'clock slate?
I'm not. I don't have much argument. No, I just like instinctively tease it down on Sunday night. And that's what I'm going with. And it's just like kind of like a no-brainer. I'm betting against the rookie quarterbacks. And I did this bet before I even saw the Titans injury report, or really before they started practicing. You know, it's just, I'm not crazy about laying the points at the Titans on the road. You know, they're 7-1 overall, but 3-5 against the spread when laying at least 7 points in the Vrabel era. They don't cover big numbers. You know, but again, fading the rookie quarterback to me feels profitable. My brother gave me a take that I didn't hate. He leaned to the over, partially because everyone's on the under, like over 95% of the action's on the under. And like, if there was ever a defense that Zach Wilson could complete big plays on, perhaps it's Tennessee's. You know, I'm not that into that take. So I'm just going to stick with my teaser leg number one, and I'm definitely going to go to the window with it. But yeah, no, we don't have to talk about this one much more. I can't make really a Jets argument. I can't.
Hey, another one where hopefully we don't need to spend a whole lot of time. The Washington football team at 1-2, visiting the 1-2 Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are even money at home. Washington -120 on the other side, -1.5 points, -108, -112 for the Falcons with the point of insurance, 47.5 over under, -105 on the over, -115 on the under. Falcons got that 17-14 road win over the Giants, and Washington football team absolutely routed 43-21 at the Buffalo Bills. Washington is 0-3 against the spread. Atlanta 1-2, ATS 1-2 over under. Neither team in Super Bowl contention. Yeah, I'm going to go with Antonio Gibson. And, you know, Taylor Heineke He's a very athletic quarterback. He likes to run. He can run. You know, Atlanta for years hasn't been good against either mobile quarterbacks or pass catching running backs. You know, they face both this week off of a wholly unimpressive 17-14 win. I'm on Washington. -1.5 is a low number. Back the road favorites here.
I lean Falcons, and it's only a lean because Atlanta just beat my favorite team and Washington were just embarrassed and I gave them out in a best bet. So maybe my judgment is clouded. You know, I don't want to like overreact to those things. I mean, it is a pros versus Joe's games, but more game with more money on Atlanta, more bets on Washington. And I don't think calling Washington's defense at this point bad is overreacting. Washington had extra prep time to for a Bills team that looked unsettled on offense through the first 2 weeks, and they got absolutely destroyed in every way. Like, there are sports gambling podcasts I listen to that actually suggest the Bills left points on the table. And if you saw the box score and you saw that game at all, like, it's kind of hard to envision, but whatever. You know, and Washington's defense, 30th in EPA, 29th in DVOA, it just hasn't played that well. And one of those games were against the Giants, you know? And Atlanta beat the Giants at home, or when the Giants were at home on the road for Atlanta, and Washington struggled at home against the Giants. Atlanta was in that game with the Bucks until the fourth quarter, and those pick sixes sent the game, like, askew for the Falcons, for lack of a better way of putting it. And like, I think most people are ready to dismiss the Green Bay ass whooping they took against New Orleans in week one. To an extent, I'm willing to dismiss Atlanta's first week whooping against Philly. You know, was Arthur Smith's first game as coach? You know, was Matt Ryan's first game without Julio Jones after years? Maybe that has something to do with it. But again, my judgment could be clouded. So I kind of like the teaser more, but I keep saying that. I think I'm just going to pass and I guess root for you to be right, so one of us can make some money around here.
Yeah, I don't know. That's how bad that Atlanta Falcons offensive line has been. You know, Matt Ryan just continues to go down. A little bit better last week. Good enough for the win over the crappy Giants, but I don't know. After seeing, you know, no, it wasn't single-handedly in Cleveland because that defense is just so much better as a whole than, as you say, Washington's is this year, but just Chase Young can carve his way through that on his own. And you know, if Matt Ryan has no time, he can't do anything. He's not getting anything in the run game to back him up. Mike Davis has been bad. Cordarrelle Patterson's the only one doing anything back there. And, you know, take Kyle Pitts high in the draft and then don't use him. That seems weird. Calvin Ridley will get one good drive per game and then won't get a look for a while. I don't know. I just have so little faith in the Falcons right now. And, you know, as I said, Atlanta's two greatest weaknesses in a mobile quarterback and a dual threat running back. Washington has both. I think they can win by two or more here on the road. Final 1 o'clock game, Carolina Panthers are 4.5-point underdogs at the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas -4.5, -107, -115 for the Panthers, -205 for Dallas on the money line. Nice total of 50.5 here, -108 on the over, -112 on the under. We know Dallas beat up on Philadelphia 41-21 on Monday Night Football, but Carolina, an impressive 24-9 road victory on Thursday Night Football. So a dramatic rest advantage here for Carolina. Although Christian McCaffrey not playing, we're going to get the first start and full game from running back Chuba Hubbard. Well, great college career. We'll see what he can do in a full game of NFL usage. Sam Darnold's looking good. Leading contender for comeback player of the year, up there with Dak Prescott, even though Prescott coming back from injury, Sam Darnold coming back from playing with the Jets, and Adam Gase. Panthers are 3-0, sitting pretty atop the NFC South. This probably their greatest challenge. They handled the New Orleans Saints pretty well at home, but going on the road against this Dallas Cowboys offense that probably looking as impressive as any offense in the NFL right now. Dallas minus 4.5 is my lean. I'm slowly converting to liking the Panthers almost as much as you, but this just doesn't seem like the spot for them, even with the rest advantage. Losing McCaffrey going to be huge. If McCaffrey is playing, maybe I'd be on Carolina, but I like Dallas minus 4.5 here. They can just strike way too quickly. And Carolina, you know, even with Darnold playing well, that's not his forte.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the Cowboys here laying the points. I think too much noise is being made by extra prep time. And as you know, I think I've established credibility with you in the subject because we talk about gambling all the time. But you've seen me double down on teams when it's gotten bad because I really believe in my bet, right? I took the Cowboys and missed the playoffs before the season. I'm willing to abort that at this point. They look good. They've looked good against three good teams, right? Philly might not be a good team, but Cowboys just steamrolled them. Steamrolled them on both sides of the ball. So I'm not going to lose any more money if I don't have to on the Cowboys. I love the Giants, but I love money even more. And the Cowboy team, frankly, they look like they're on a mission. I'm impressed. I can't have any other takeaway than that. I mean, Dallas' defense looks legit. That kid, Trevion Diggs, it looked like Charles Woodson out there this weekend. Granted, against a Philly pass offense, which wasn't awesome, or isn't awesome. Micah Parsons, they put him on the defensive line. He's a tank. He was a tank coming out of Penn State. Everyone knew he was like essentially a better Isaiah Simmons, and he's proven it. I mean, he looks like the defensive rookie of the year at this point. The other guy that could have been in that conversation for defensive rookie of the year is J.C. Horn, the cornerback of the Panthers, who just hit the IR. So did starting safety Justin Burris. So we have a banged up Carolina secondary against an awesome Dallas receiving core and pass game. I think Dallas defense looks legit, and Panthers offense just doesn't scare me with CMC out with injury. They have one good wide receiver at the moment. Has anyone seen Robbie Anderson? Does he still play professional football?
I think he does. Need to verify. We'll confirm next week.
He hasn't shown up yet. We got a strength versus strength with Cowboys O-line versus Panthers D-line. Cowboys O-line's first in adjusted line yards. Panthers D-line's first in adjusted line yards. Thing is, Dallas's offensive line has played three talented defensive lines in Tampa Bay, Los Angeles Chargers, and Philly. And Panthers' defensive schedule or schedule of opposing offenses hasn't been daunting. It's a big number, and I don't think people are crazy about the Cowboys, especially with how good the Panthers have looked. I'll just lay it. I will. I'm with you.
Yeah, Micah Parsons is the favorite for Defensive Rookie of the Year at Tipico Sportsbook, plus 350. And he has made a dramatic improvement to that whole unit. And you know, as good as Sam Darnold has looked, I think this is certainly going to be his biggest bump in the road to comeback player of the year. Anyway, before we move into the 4 o'clock slate, another word from Tipico Sportsbook. Global sports betting leader is now live in New Jersey and Colorado. Make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. For a limited time, new users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply for those 21 and up. See site for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey, 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. Moving into the 4 o'clock slate, and this is where all the good games are this week, apparently. Seattle Seahawks at 1-2 at the San Francisco 49ers, 2-1, 4:05 p.m. Eastern time kickoff. 30-17 loss for the Seahawks at the Minnesota Vikings last week. 30-28 home loss to the Green Bay Packers for the 49ers last week. Seattle is 1-2 against the spread and over under. San Francisco is 1-2 against the spread, but 2-1 over under. San Francisco plus 1,500 for the Super Bowl. Seattle plus 3,000. And the Niners, they're minus 150 money line favorites, minus 2.5 points, minus 130 odds. Seahawks plus 2.5, plus 105 odds, plus 122 on the money line for those liking an upset. 51.5 points, minus 115 on the over with minus 105 on the under. San Francisco had it going. Narrow loss. The Packers last week, Seahawks just a full-on legging against the Minnesota Vikings. You and I think we're both on the Vikings on this podcast. Seattle plus 2.5 off of the loss. That's a lean, a very soft, hesitant lean. This is the game I feel the least confident in this slate, but you know, looking forward to watching.
Yeah, to piggyback on that, me too, because it feels like the toughest spot. I don't really know. I mean, Seattle, this is much of a must-win game as it gets in week four, right? I mean, Cardinals and Rams are one of those two teams aren't going to be undefeated, but they are right now after this week. I mean, 49ers looked awesome through 3 weeks. You know, you can't really knock them too badly for losing the Packers, even though I want to. And honestly, like, I'm going to be a little shorter in the 4 o'clock window because partially because these games are so tough and I don't have as many strong opinions on it. I got to do a little more prep, but I mean, Carroll 6-2 straight up, and 4-4 against spread against Shanahan and the 49ers. I mean, Seattle's getting a lot of betting love, which gives me pause because it could be an overreaction to San Francisco's Sunday night football loss to a good Green Bay team. But I wouldn't lay it either way, or I wouldn't lay it with the 49ers. I can't get to that. I can't talk myself into that. And the Seahawks is just like, it's either big play or nothing out of them. So it's hard to back a team that just doesn't have success consistently on offense when they have all that talent. So I'm just going to pass.
Okay, fair enough. And I don't have a hard enough stance either way. If I had to, I think I would supposedly lean to Seattle just because they have more to lose with a loss here. As you say, division will quickly slip away from a 1-3 team with one of LA or Arizona moving to 4-0 after this week. Speaking of Arizona and LA, 4:05 p.m. kickoff at SoFi Stadium. Cardinals coming off a 31-19 win on the road over the Jacksonville Jaguars, which they just absolutely put the hammer down in the second half. The Rams 34-24 home win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers looked very good throughout against the reigning Super Bowl champions. Arizona 2-1 against the spread, 1-2 over under. LA 2-1 ETS, 3-0 over under, as Matthew Stafford has that offense looking incredible. You know, wasted years under Jared Goff for Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and co. Even without a real running game, Los Angeles just continuing to put up points in big ways. Cooper Kupp having a fantastic season. Wes Stafford is his number one target. LA plus 900 for the Super Bowl. Arizona plus 2,000 as they're starting to creep down a little bit into top tier contender range. Arizona plus 175 on the money line. LA minus 220, plus 4.5 points for the Cardinals, minus 110 odds. 4.5 points is what LA is laying, minus 110 odds. 54.5 point is the point total, minus 117 on the over, minus 103 on the under. Bookmakers, fans, everyone expecting a lot of points in this one. They're sure not wrong. These two offenses are excellent. I like the over almost blindly. 4.5 points. That's nice insurance on Kyler Murray and Arizona. You know, going to give a pretty significant head coaching advantage to Sean McVay over Cliff Kingsbury as he continues to handcuff his team perhaps a little bit. Kind of scary to think what this team could be with a top-tier head coach. But you know, they are 3-0, and the offense is looking incredible. Yeah, I'm going to take the insurance of Arizona, +4.5. I think they can keep this tight.
Yeah, I'm with you. To me, it's lean Cardinals or light Cardinals or pass. McVay owns Kingsbury, but this Cardinals team feels legit. And this is another situation just like the Cowboys where I feel flat wrong about this team. You know, I focused too much maybe on their floor or the worst end of the spectrum and didn't add or weight enough to the positive end of the spectrum. And Kyler looks awesome. I like Kyler coming out of college. I didn't like Cliff Kingsbury. Well, it seems to be working through three games. Don't want to overreact. However, there is notable reverse line movement towards Arizona. Most of the bets and money are on LA, but they've dropped from a 6-point favorite to 4.5. They grade out similarly. They really do. You know, efficiency on both sides of the ball. LA is a little more efficient on offense. Arizona is a little more efficient on defense. They're neck and neck in strength of schedule. My read, based on what I've seen, is the Cardinals have a little more balance on offense between being able to run with Kyler Murray and pass, obviously. And they're a little bit better on defense. So I would take the 4.5. Obviously, I'm an anti-Kingsbury guy, and McVay owns him. But, you know, the term or the expression I would use is that's baked into the line. So I lean to the Cardinals for sure.
Okay. Baltimore Ravens 2-1 at the 3-0 Denver Broncos, 4:25 p.m. kickoff. Ravens coming off that narrow 19-17 win at the Detroit Lions. Broncos, entire other end of the spectrum, and a 26-0 throttling of the New York Jets on home field. Baltimore is 1-2 against the spread, 2-1 over under. Denver 3-0 against the spread, 0-3 over under. Full credit to their defense there. Just three lopsided victories from Denver here. I had my doubts about them coming into the season. Obviously, going with Teddy Bridgewater as a starting quarterback was 1,000% the right decision. And the defense, obviously, very, very good after a shutout of a bad New York Jets team. Baltimore +1,300 for the Super Bowl, Denver +3,000. And Denver is a -115 home favorite here, half point spread in a pick'em, -105 on the money line for the Ravens, 44.5 point total, -115 on the over, -105 on the under. Is this the spot where Denver gets got? This is their best competition they've seen yet this year.
Yeah,
and I pick them, but yeah, I don't know. Is the Baltimore offense two dimensional enough to cause problems for this defense that has looked very, very good, albeit against three very bad teams?
Yeah, no, I mean, I lean to the Denver here pretty heavy. Baltimore just had 8 players miss practice Wednesday. Denver's a tough place to play at the high altitude. And Baltimore needs to kind of run a fast-paced offense, at least if it's running and doing what it wants to do. And Denver against that defense in that altitude is a tough place to run a fast-paced offense. Baltimore's getting all the love, over 80% of the actions on them, but it's a line freeze. You know, the line hasn't moved, hasn't budged off the opening number. Baltimore could easily be 0-3, and I feel like because of their wins, that's almost lost, right? They beat the Chiefs, which is an awesome win, back against the wall. And they hit a 66-yarder to beat the Lions, you know? But it's kind of like, well, it was the Lions. They should have won, and they did do enough. But at the same point, you know, they didn't cover against the Lions, and this Broncos defense, I feel, is legit and kind of, almost like touch on a vibe that you gave off. Just in a question form, though, it feels as though like no one wants to believe Denver is ready to beat Baltimore. So I feel like there's value in the Broncos. You know, that's how I feel. It's more of a lean than anything. I'm not going to go to the window with it. Again, I bet NFL at a crazy rate, so maybe I will end up with this ticket closer to kickoff. But, you know, as of right now, I'll just lean Broncos.
Yeah, Justin Tucker, 66-yard field goal in Detroit. What's he going to do at altitude? I can see Baltimore at least trying to break that record already. maybe that comes back and shoots them in the foot, though, as we saw with Arizona attempting a, 68-yarder in Jacksonville last week. That could skew results in this game.
Yeah, but. Yeah, Baltimore's going to miss a field goal, and Denver's going to turn around and be in the red zone.
Right. That has that feel. And, yeah, I agree with your point that to a lot of people, Denver's almost a phony 3-0 team, even though I don't think they should be anymore. I've come around full circle in the Broncos. They are a legitimate contender here. Plus 3,000 is a pretty good number, perhaps, especially with the Chiefs not looking great. Final 4 o'clock game, Pittsburgh Steelers visiting the Green Bay Packers. Steelers are 1-2 coming off an ugly 24-10 loss at home to the rival Bengals. Packers, that big 30-28 road win in San Francisco. Green Bay, a minus 300 favorite here. Steelers plus 230 on the money line, minus 6.5 point spread with slight juice on the Packers at minus 112, minus 108 on the Steelers, and over under 45.5 points because not a whole lot expected from the Pittsburgh offense, and rightfully so, minus 110 odds either way. The Steelers are 0-3 over under. Packers 2-1, Packers 2-1 against the spread. Steelers are 1-2. Packers are definitely back. Two big wins after that ugly, ugly week one loss. I don't know if there's any coming back for the Steelers. Did you see that report pregame last week that Pittsburgh executives have recently come to the decision that Ben Roethlisberger may be losing it and they need an upgrade at quarterback? That's why executives make a whole lot more money than you and I, Jeff. And, got to say they're looking pretty good right now. They might be right on something that the rest of the NFL knew since about week 10 of last season.
Yeah, that every NFL podcast has openly talked about. Maybe they downloaded our show or something. I lean to the Steelers here. I like the under. This is going to be my total play of the week. The under, I think it's 46 right now. I'm gonna try to sell an idea to you that I know isn't really your wheelhouse. You don't like trends, but Steelers in October, they play better over the last 5 years. They're 14-4 straight up and 14-4 against the spread as an underdog. 4-2 straight up, 5-1 against the spread. Now, why I think this matters is because when you have a system that's been intact for as long, like these guys get in their ways, they get set in their ways, and maybe. Just for whatever reason, over the years, it's take Big Ben longer to heat up and Mike Tomlin longer to sell that year's scheme to the team. And by October, they're killing it. It possibly doesn't happen at all this year. And maybe Big Ben just never warms up. It certainly looks like he's not going to. But everyone's on Green Bay after a huge Sunday Night Football win. They're getting they're getting a lot of the handle. Kind of to dive into like the under, why I like the under. Pittsburgh, they should get TJ Watt back. We got reverse line movement toward the under, 85% of the actions on the over, but it's dropped from 48. And again, you get Watt coming back. Alex Highsmith, their other offensive linebacker, missed last game. He's questionable. Minka Fitzpatrick is the lowest graded safety in PFF right now, and Pittsburgh's defense is still good. He's going to play better. Like 100% he's going to play better. Also, Green Bay has the slowest pace of neutral situation offense. You know they're going to want to hand the ball off to Aaron Jones this week. And Pittsburgh is 19th in neutral pace offense. Pittsburgh's offense is terrible. And even Green Bay's defense can match up with them. Also, Green Bay's offensive line is banged up and a question mark. And if TJ Watt comes back, maybe the defensive line at Steelers in the backfield against Green Bay all game. I don't like Pittsburgh plus the points as much as the under, but I will be taking under 46 to the window with me.
Yeah, I like that. Just so little hope for the Steelers here. And, you know, Najee Harris was obviously a front runner for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Not really his fault that he's fallen out of it. What is he at here? He is plus 1,200 now at Tipico.
Have you watched him play?
He's six by the odds. I haven't seen much. How much of that are you putting on him? Or is it just like the box is stacked?
You kind of broke up a little bit there. But just re-ask your question. I don't think we don't have to edit or anything.
How much are you putting Najee Harris's struggles on him versus just the lack of respect that Ben Roethlisberger needs? We have Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Claypool just going to absolute waste out there. Roethlisberger can't do anything. Like, is it Harris's fault or is it entirely on Ben? Is he the problem? Are we going to see a quarterback change for Pittsburgh sooner than later?
I mean, I don't know if they're going to change anything because do you go to Dwayne Haskins? To answer your question in a very concrete way, I would put 5% of the blame on Najee Harris. This offense is terrible. Like, if you saw their last 4th-and-10 play, I think on their own side of the field last week, they ended up checking down to Najee Harris in the flat, and he got hit by 4 people. Like, he's got nowhere to go. The Pittsburgh Steelers are dead last in adjusted line yards, their offensive line. Like, it's bad news. You know, it's fun to crap on Big Ben. He's been terrible. I can't honestly say Dwayne Haskins will be better. I just can't. So
no.
They're stuck. Hopefully Big Ben gets better. Hopefully their defense is the best in the league. They're stuck. I don't know. Good luck, guys. Had a great run. You know, as an Eli Manning and Giants fan, it got really bad at the end. I can't complain. I saw 2 Super Bowls in epic ways. Like, sorry, Steelers. This is what happened with Kobe and the Lakers. It sucks. It sucks, right? I mean, hey, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you die a hero or you live long enough, become a villain. And exactly. A lot of people just want Ben Roethlisberger gone in Pittsburgh. Packers -6.5 is the official pick of Bet Slippin' Podcast. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New England Patriots, excuse me. Buccaneers 2-1, Patriots 1-2. 8:20 p.m. Sunday Night Football kickoff. Brady, Belichick, to me or to us, will go with Buccaneers defense against Mac Jones. Bucks off that 34-24 loss against the Los Angeles Rams. So the defense pretty well rested after not showing up a whole lot through 3 weeks. Patriots, a 28-13 home loss to Jameis Winston and the New Orleans Saints. Both teams 1-2 against the spread. Bucks are 3-0 over under. Brady tied for the NFL lead with 10 touchdown passes. Patriots are 0-3 over under. Mac Jones tied for the NFL lead and looking awful. Bucks are +650 as co-Super Bowl 56 favorites. The New England Patriots quickly falling out of that race at +6,000. The headlines, every single headline this week is going to be Brady, Belichick. Okay, fine. Maybe Belichick can hold Brady to 2 touchdown passes. 14 points is still going to be good enough for the Bucs to win this game. If this Super Bowl winning defense that, hey, is still the same defense that won a Super Bowl, kind of gets their stuff together here after at least 3 bad performances this season. They weren't good against the Falcons either. They got lit up by the Cowboys, bad against the Falcons, and lit up by Matthew Stafford and the Rams last week. They get it together against Mac Jones, right? I don't care how good Belichick is as a defensive game planner. Brady's going to find a way to get 1 or 2 touchdowns. I don't see how New England matches that.
Yeah, brother, I'm with you. I mean, you can copy every single motivational edge theory and paste it right into the spot. Like, Tom Brady's going to want to light up the Belichick. The defense is going to get right against a rookie quarterback. And frankly, both should work. I am so down on the Patriots. And it's because of the Bill Simmonses and the Dave Portnoy's of the world. It's just like, there are super fans that run sports media companies, and they're just talking recklessly of Mac Jones. And we talked about this week in, week out. Both websites I love, like, they're awesome, like, media personalities, not knocking them. But, like, you have these guys saying stuff like, yeah, I know Mac Jones is the future guy, and I could see some Tom Brady in him. Or you have, wait until they unleash Mac Jones. Get the F out of here. Come on. This is a teaser play for me. I'm not crazy about laying it, and I feel like there's better spots to give out, like stake my name on it. But, like, again, with the Titans, Sunday night, I just teased it down, like, instantly. I was like, whatever, I'll just tease it. Won't even think about it anymore. So that's what I did.
Yeah, you know, Tom Brady never looked as bad as Mac Jones is looking. I don't care if the future is promising for him. You know, first of all, get rid of the Tom Brady comparisons. And, you know, the age-old adage, what's a rookie quarterback's best friend? A good tight end. Well, so the Patriots went out and got Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry in the offseason, the top two tight ends on the market. They're not doing anything. You know, Nelson Aguilar's had a couple of good plays. There's nobody else. The run game isn't doing enough to support them. You know, you're telling me the rest of that is going to get it together against Buccaneers and a defense that, you know, should be as angry of a unit as any, because they have looked far from a Super Bowl caliber defense, even though all the personnel is there.
Yeah, if you strip away all the narrative and all the motivational stuff, you can make the argument that the Bucs look ahead or don't take Patriots seriously. But then when you add Sunday Night Football, Adele and the promo music, Belichick versus Brady, a great defense that's looked terrible versus a rookie quarterback, I just don't see how you don't lay the points. Like, how could you not? I don't know.
What's the last game Tom Brady didn't take seriously?
Right. Like, he might say, yeah, it's another game. Everyone knows he is lying directly to our faces. Everyone knows it.
And if you want to keep it between Brady and Belichick, who's going to be more motivated for this? It has to be Brady. What were all the reports that first offseason when Brady left is that, you know, Belichick can do it without him. He's going to do it with Cam Newton. Brady's a system quarterback. Obviously, Brady has more right to be angry for whatever that's worth. And, you know, the rest of the team is a huge advantage to Tampa Bay. So, yeah, this is a conservative line at 6.5.
The easiest way to sell Brady's motivation is that he's 44 and he is a top five quarterback in the league. Like, he still cares. Totally. He totally cares still.
Yep. Okay, Monday Night Football between, you know, AFC West contenders, the Las Vegas Raiders at 3-0, Los Angeles Chargers at 2-1, off of that 30-24 win over the Kansas City Chiefs. As you mentioned, you know, kind of dominated from the get-go, forcing three turnovers, got away from them for a little bit, but they came back as come back 30-24 win on the road in a hostile environment. The Raiders handled business, 31-28 home overtime victory over the Dolphins. Dolphins covered the spread. You were on that one. I was on the wrong side. I thought I had it until Miami came back late again to force overtime. Both teams 2-1 against the spread. Raiders are 2-1 over under. Chargers 0-3 over under. Both teams middling Super Bowl contenders. Chargers plus 2,000. Raiders not getting a whole lot of respect at plus 3,000. The Chargers are minus 180 home favorites, minus 3.5 points, minus 107 odds, plus 3.5, minus 115 odds for the Raiders. 52.5 points is the projected total for Monday Night Football, minus 108 on the over, minus 112 on the under. This feels like a game where whoever the home team would be favored. Chargers, the more impressive victory last week and of the season. But Raiders are looking good at 3-0, taken to overtime last week. But against a quality Dolphins team, at least a good defense and special teams unit, I want to take the Chargers. I should have more faith in their offense. And last week was his best game in the Sims. It is looking very good as the number two receiver opposite Keenan Allen. Run game finds slight edge of the Chargers, I guess, with Austin Eckler, Josh Jacobs. Maybe we say I have minus 3.5, but I'll hedge that by saying I would probably be on the Raiders minus 3.5 in Las Vegas.
Well, the last four of these games have finished within one score, so I'd probably just take the points here. I really like the Raiders. I like them coming into this season. I more lean to their over, I guess, than like them. So maybe I'm BSing a little bit here. And I do think the Chargers more or less got lucky last week, and I'm a little skeptical of their performances, and I think the 0-3 over-under record kind of explains it. It's like their offense feels good, but it's not really good, you know? Like, it moves the ball with efficiency, but it doesn't score with any efficiency. And, you know, I'm a believer in Gruden. I think the Gruden Vegas Derek Carr vibe works. I think they're going to be a tough out, and I think they could at least play this, keep it within three and a half, whatever it's lined at right now. Also, for what it's worth, there's going to be more Raiders fans at this game. There is, like 100%. As an LA resident, it's going to happen. There's going to be more Vegas Raiders fans there, which is a bummer for the Chargers, and I don't know. I disagree with your original point, which is the Chargers beat the Chiefs. I thought the Chiefs more or less lost, so I would take the points. And truthfully, I'm not crazy about it. It's a lean, so that's where I'm at.
Okay, and that's it for me. I've got four picks. You want to take us to the window, and we can discuss those.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the window.
Yeah, going to the window. This is where we do our best bets from this previous episode. I can start off first. I was 2-2-1 week 3, 7-6-1 on the season. I have two sides. Actually, I'm going to go with three sides. I'm going to gamble a little bit. Three sides, one total, and two teasers. I've got a lot on this slip. I want to go with the Bears, -2.5. I think there's too much Lions love, which shouldn't even be a thing. I'm going to go Cowboys -5 or -5.5. I'm down on the Panthers as an offense, you know, with no CMC. And I'm ready to eat crow on the Cowboys. They look good on both sides of the ball. Maybe I'm overreacting a little bit to the Monday Night Football performance against probably a bad Philadelphia team. But I also think the market is showing Panthers too much love for extra prep time. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to go Jaguars +7.5. I'm not even going to talk about it any further. I'm just going to do it. Sorry, guys. Sorry, everyone. I have a total and two teasers.
Okay, got it. I've got four picks this week. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was saying I have a total and two teasers, but after you go with your picks, okay. I'll read them.
All right. I've got four. I'm 7-7 through 3 weeks, +0.02 units, Jeff. So rolling in it so far. Four picks for week four. Cleveland Browns -2.5, -112. Washington football team -1.5, -108. Riskiest pick of the week, Arizona Cardinals +4.5, -110. Gotta live a little. And then, you know, just a hate fueled pick of Tampa Bay Buccaneers -6.5, -122. You're the line movement expert of Bet7 Podcast and SportsbookWire.com. Where do you see that line, 6.5 points, Buccaneers, Patriots? Where do you see that going by game time Sunday?
I think it has to get over 7. I don't. If it doesn't get over 7, I'd be very nervous because I just don't see how, like, all the money's coming in on the Buccaneers. And at some point, the books are going to have the liability, I would think. And that will offset how they actually feel, right? I know they're sitting there thinking, like, anytime if we put it at 7.5, the sharps, the syndicates are just going to nail us. But, I mean, come on. How hard is anyone betting the Patriots? I just don't see it. You know, there's a lot of syndicates or sharps who will instinctively take Belichick +7.5 at home, but I don't see it. So I think it's a 7.5. That'd be my, or at least a flat 7. That'll be my official guess here. Did you give out your picks?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, cool. So three more. I got under 46 and the Packers, Steelers at the Packers, excuse me. And I'm going to do two 6-point teasers here. One, Titans -1.5, and the Bucks down to .5 or -1. Really below the key number of 3 for both those teams, if you can tease those road favorites. Not advantage teasers because of the road favorites, but I think the advantage is them playing the rookie quarterbacks. And I'm also going to tease the Seahawks up to 8.5 because I feel that's a one-score game, Seahawks versus the 49ers. And I'm going to take the Vikings up to 7.5. Same premise, even though 8 is technically one score still. I just think that's going to be a nail-biter, and getting the plus points at home is good enough for me with the Vikings. So those are my six picks for the week. We out of here? Think we're out of here, Eston?
Yeah.
That's our
we're out here.
Week four breakdown. Week five, we plan on having a special guest. Yahoo Sports' Minty Betts is going to roll through again. I'm sure you all remember her from our week one breakdown where I killed it. Eston, how'd you do week one?
Good week one. Strong week one.
So we could possibly argue that Minty's good luck for us. So hopefully she brings in the good vibes and good luck and good handicap next week. Do us a favor, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out all of our written handicaps from me, from Eston, I, and our colleagues at sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. Until next time, peace.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire. Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.